Blog Talk Radio.
For my soul,
just for my soul, I need.
And I'm tired of crying all night, just for my soul.
Just for my soul, I need.
Lord, I need Thee, oh, I need Thee to take away this pain and misery. 'Cause God, I just can't do this by myself. I need a help, Lord. Gave my body and my soul away. So now I come to You just to behold. Heal my soul, Lord.
I need a healing for my soul.
Come on and heal me.
Would
You please see about me, Lord?
I need a healing for my soul.
Good morning, good morning. How many out there in radio land need a healing for their soul? I don't know about you, but I do. Today is June 24th, 2023, and good morning, good morning, and good morning. We are Amazing Grace Ministries, and we are destroying the yokes of bondage. Welcome to Blog Talk Radio. I am your host, Dr. Maria Carey. I'm the president and CEO of Amazing Grace Ministries. And certainly we give honor to our co-host, Evangelist Terry Rogers. Certainly keep her in your prayers. I've got news on where she'll be on this afternoon. Praise God, lifting up the name of the Lord and giving Him the glory. We have a spirit-filled lesson for you today. As always, God is good, and He certainly showers down His blessings. So again, I want to reach out and say thank you for all of you that have supported the annual Blog Talk Prayer Breakfast. Y'all call it a prayer breakfast. I call it a Blog Talk Breakfast, but certainly is a blog breakfast, but prayer breakfast is okay. I accept that too. I want to thank you for all your support, your monetary support, for the presence of your bodies in the building. That event took place on June the 10th, 2023. Hallelujah. I'm still getting reports. I'm still getting donations coming in. So all of you that want to send a donation, want to give a donation, just give me a text at 309-750-7584. And certainly I want to thank you for just allowing us. Praise God, my words are getting tongue twisted this morning, but we bind the enemy. I want to thank the Lord for just allowing us to continue this process of giving and sending out hope early on Saturday mornings. So I want to say that I want to express your blessings and continue to encourage you in the name of the Lord. But before I do that, I want to just mention our co-host will be speaking today at Indiana Avenue Pentecostal Church of God. That service will take place today at 12 p.m. noon. The address is 3520 South Indiana. So all of you that can, go support her as she gives a word to break the yokes of bondage. This is a blog talk. Praise God. I got to give reference to that. But certainly the word of God is alive and it is active. And it will feed you and encourage you and give you what you need. So, again, I'm on every Saturday morning at 9 a.m. I've sent out links on this morning to those of you that have my cell phone number. If you want the link, give me a call, or give me a text, 309-750-7584, and I will send you the link. Praise God. We have a word. We have a word. Let's get into the lesson. We have a word that will captivate your mind, that will change your life. Christ came that we may have life and that life more abundantly. The word will illuminate your heart and lift you to a greater level in the Lord Jesus Christ. We will take you on a journey in the word that will give you peace, greater hope, closer to Jesus as we set the pace for victory. We are fighting the good fight of faith using our spiritual weapons. And I want you to underline we are fighting the good fight of faith. Praise God. There are so many that are sick among us. So the Lord has given me a word. We have a theme for the month of June, and this is the last Saturday in June. And next Saturday, praise the Lord, if the Lord allowed me to still be here, it will be my birthday. And certainly I thank God for just allowing his grace and mercy. The theme for the month of June has been God's eternal reign. And this last month, or this last week in June, we're talking about real life faith. Real life faith. I'm going to say that again. Real, R-E-A-L, real live faith, L-I-V-E. And I want to be very plain about it. So we're going to a familiar passage of scripture, and we're going to Hebrews. We're going to Hebrews, the 11th chapter, and we're going to read some verses, and then we're going to skip down. So we're going, first of all, to Hebrews 11, Hebrews 11, verses 1 through 8. Let's read them. I'm reading the New Living Translation. Great examples of faith. Faith shows the reality of what we hope for. It is the evidence of things we can't see. Through faith, the people in the days of old earned a good reputation. 3, by faith we understand that the entire universe was formed at God's command, that what we now see did not come from anything that can be seen. It was by faith that Abel brought a more acceptable offering to God than Cain did. Abel's offering gave evidence that he was a righteous man, and God showed his approval of his gifts. Although Abel is long dead, he still speaks to us by the example of faith. 5, it was by faith that Enoch was taken up to heaven without dying. He disappeared because God took him. For before he was taken up, he was known as a person who pleased God. 6, And it is impossible to please God without faith. Anyone who wants to come to him must believe that God exists and that he rewards those who sincerely seek him. 7, it was by faith that Noah built a large boat to save his family from the flood. He obeyed God, who warned him about things that had never happened before. By his faith, Noah condemned the rest of the world, and he received the righteousness that comes by faith. Chapter 8. It was by faith that Abraham obeyed when God called him to leave home and to go to another land that God would give him as his inheritance. He went without knowing where he was going. Genesis, and we're going to drop down to Genesis, and then we're going to go back to verses 13 and 16. So Genesis 5 and 24, and this again is the New Life Testimony, talks about Enoch. Close fellowship with God, then one day he disappeared because God took him. This is reference to verse 5 of Hebrews 11:5. Dropping down now to verses 13 through 14, again, the New Living Translation. All those people died still believing what God had promised them. They did not receive what was promised, but they saw it all from distance and welcomed it. They agreed that they were foreigners and nomads here on earth. Obviously, people who say such things are looking forward to a country they can call their own. If they had longed for the country they came from, they would have gone back. But they were looking for a better place, a heavenly homeland. That is why God is not ashamed to be called. That is why God is not ashamed to be called their God. That is why they're not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. Have you ever been discouraged? Have you ever felt as though your best efforts were never quite good enough? Everyone faces discouragement, discouraging season and situations in life. For even Jesus experienced moments of discouragement. As on the night that he was betrayed and he struggled to face the horrors that was about to happen, horrors of his arrest and his crucifixion. Nothing is more important in the life of a believer than having an advocate or a situation to happen, to cause setbacks and to cause problems, and to try them, to try their belief system. When we look at Hebrews, when we look at the believers, and we look at this chapter, we see that there is so much impacted in this chapter alone. But we're living in a day and time where it seems like we have to fight for our beliefs. We have to fight to encourage ourselves. We have to fight because there's so much sickness. There's so many problems. There's so much that we're going through in this day and time. There's so many problems on a daily basis. And certainly everyone on this line can identify with the fact that you've had to go through something on just this week, whether it was a situation, whether it was financial, whether it's health, whether it's something with your kids, whether it was Satan trying to get you all stressed out and discombobulated and tell you that God is not going to fix it. So here we have today the book of Hebrews. And let's talk about and go to the history of Hebrews. The book of Hebrews is among Paul's writings. And some say that Paul didn't write this book. The other scholars that give it to maybe somebody else, because it had some characteristics that was not Paul. But eventually this book of Hebrews were given to Paul. Mm-hmm. So they say some of the people that followed him, like Apollos and Silas and Aquila and Priscilla, may have been the authors of this book. However, Hebrews is a book that encourages the body of believers. And certainly if we go back to this chapter, everybody quotes that familiar scripture, that first verse, and we know it by heart. Faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. That is the King James Version I just quoted just off the top of my head, because we quote that verse and we quote that scripture because it is one to anchor our faith. Now, the early church fathers say that this book of Hebrews probably was written around 95 A.D. Some say the book was written possibly occurred with Jerusalem's destruction in 70 A.D. or even 65 A.D. Regardless, it was written a long time ago. So this letter, again, exhorts the believers to continue to look to the hills from which cometh our help. And our help cometh from Jesus Christ. Hebrews addresses three separate groups: the person that believes in Christ, the unbeliever who has knowledge of and intellectual acceptance of the fact that Christ lived, and unbelievers who attributed Christ, who was attracted to Christ, but rejected him. It's a sad thing to reject Jesus Christ. Really sad. So we see the three groups that this book was addressed to. The writer continuously made mention of the superiority of Christ in both his personage and his ministerial works. The writers of the Old Testament understood the rituals and the symbols, the ceremonies of the Jewish customs that pointed to the coming of Messiah. So we see that the Old Testament literally foretells and mentions the coming of Jesus Christ. I've talked in the past about the Passover, and I often say that Christ is the last Passover lamb. So in essence, what this book is identifying and giving clarity to and amplifying the fact that Jesus Christ has come, he has died for our sins, and he has risen. And it goes back to the Old Testament foundation, the foundation of knowing or mention or having this seal and foundation that God was making a plan even before we got here. So that's a plan long, long time ago. And what he has done, he's given us a book that has been written to encourage us, to strengthen us, to give life to the situations we are now facing on today. So now we are here in the faith chapter of the book of Hebrews. Again, it's a landmark book. It talks about faith. It talks about the description of faith. It talks about it actually gives a resume to the biblical's most faithful personalities, and it recalls those individuals of the Old Testament who stood strong on their abilities to believe that God is able to do exceedingly and abundantly. I want to ask you a question. Do you really believe that God is able to change your situation? Do you really believe by faith that God is working it out for you even as you listen to this lesson? Faith is the foundation of living courageously in this life. We can't do it without faith. We can't do it without believing that God is able to do exceedingly and abundantly above all that I could ask or think. And that is found in Ephesians. I've got to believe that no matter what comes, no matter what throws down, I've got to know without a shadow of a doubt that God is going to work out my situation. The writer begins with the description of faith, and it moves to a spiritual resume, like I said. The writer exhorts us to be encouraged and to continue the journey of faith. You know, one of the things that I want to let you know today, that we move from glory to glory, that the faith we had yesterday builds on the faith we have to pick up and believe in on today. What you mean, Dr. Carey? I mean that in order to live a life of victory, we have to know that what God did for us yesterday and the situation that comes to us today is going to be more of a challenge than what we faced yesterday. But we have yesterday's knowledge that God brought us out. So if God brought us out of yesterday, he'll bring us out today. And no matter what the situation is, God will bring us out. We've got to understand, in order to live a courageous life, we must know that God is working it out for us. When we don't have faith, when we don't believe, it hinders God's ability to give strength, give power, and to move in us. God can't move unless we believe that he's going to move. We can speak to the mountain and it shall be removed. Why? Because the faith in us, the woman that was dragging through the crowd, the woman that touched the hem of the garment, she touched it, but she believed first. And when she believed, when she said, I'm going to press my way, I'm going to crawl on my hands and my knees, I'm going to crawl until I can touch the hem of my Savior's garment. Now let me tell you that the hem of Jesus' garment had tassels on him. So in essence, when she touched the hem of the garment, she just barely got the bottom of it. Oh, but her faith had made her whole. Oh, and then when her faith made her whole, he turned around and said, who touched me? Because the virtue had left his body. Her belief system had activated her faith. So in essence, because her belief system and her ability and her belief in him, oh, he didn't have to speak it. He felt it leave his body. And when she told him she had touched the hem of his garment, he said, thou faith has made you whole. So throughout the writers, the verses of Hebrews, it was encouraged for the saints to live out a meaningful life of faith, confidence in Jesus Christ. So in essence, when we get to verses 1 and The writer says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. It's a definition of faith. It's the most quoted word, as I said. But it's a passage about knowing, referencing that faith, hope. You know, when we hope in something, we know it's going to happen. We believe it's going to happen. We have confidence in the trust. Trust in a living Savior. Trust in the God's ability to work it out. I trust the Lord, and because I trust the Lord, I know and I'm going to walk with you. No matter how hard it seems, I trust the Lord to work it out. And because I trust the Lord to work it out, because he's done it for me in the past, as I forestated, I'm going to rest in his ability to move. Now, the Holy Spirit also produces faith in our lives. You know, we can't do anything of our own accord. So when we go to 1 Corinthians 2 and 4, 9 through 14, y'all read it. It talks about the scriptures and the meanings and how God prepares for us because he loves us. He loves us, and because he loves us, he's made a way of escape. He has made a way through the Spirit of God. And we can't fight the battle of our own flesh and blood. We can't fight the battle out of our own abilities. But we have got to ask the God that lives in heaven, the God that is omnipresent, the God that knows all things, the God that sent his son and died on the cross, the God that sent the comforter back for us. Comforter, I need you to strengthen my ability to believe in you. And the word says, faith cometh by hearing, and the hearing by the word of God. So in essence, I can't have faith unless I read the book. So when we jump down to 1 Corinthians 2, and I'm going to read verse 13, you can read the whole chapter. It says, when we tell you these things, we do not use words that come from human wisdom. Can I read that again? When we tell you these things, we do not use words that come from human wisdom. Instead, we speak words given to us by the Spirit, using the Spirit's words to explain spiritual truths. Meaning, my faith is dependent upon the Spirit's abilities to speak and strengthen me to understand God's plan for my life. And when we say faith cometh by hearing and the hearing by the word, is because we don't have the ability to take hold of faith unless the Spirit worketh in us to do the will of God. Repeating, I believe, I believe. I trust the Lord. I can't see you, but I trust you. I can't see you when my family members are sick, but I trust you. I trust you to work it out, God. I trust you to work it out. I believe, I believe, I believe. We got to get repetitive. We got to say these things over and over again. We've got to quote the word. We've got to see scriptures when we wake up in the morning and look in the mirror. We got to have them planted on our mirror. We've got to have them accessible on a daily basis so that we can read the word that keeps saying, I believe, I have faith, I know God is going to work it out, just like the woman with the issue of blood. I'm going to press my way, can't see my way, but I believe God is able to do it. I believe God is able to strengthen me. God, I believe for my family members because they don't have or they may not see it. Let me explain the principle, too. Now, I want to say this before I explain the principle. You got to be willing to fight. We're living in a day and age and a time where Satan is trying to do the most. He's attacking the believer, and I keep talking about this month in June. Thank God for so many birthdays, and I go out, and we still know that God is in control, but Satan wants to take everything that God has created and make it damnable. So you got Munch, you got the rainbow, and if you know the story of Noah, after he builds the ark, the flood comes, the world is destroyed, it rains 40 days and 40 nights. And then after that flood happened, God gave Noah a promise. He said that you can look up and you can see the rainbow. And I'm going to show that rainbow as a covenant of our relationship to let you know that there will not be another flood on the world again. Now, that rainbow has been corrupted by Satan. So it has been taken, it has been used out of context and taken because the enemy tries to destroy everything that God has. But I want to let you know he can't do that. So back to the principle of what I'm trying to tell you on this morning, and I pray you get it. That is, we have the authority. We have the authority over our family members. And everyone that's hearing me on this morning, I want you to be clear that you could speak life. You could declare it. You can speak it. We're going through sickness. We're going through illnesses in our body. And certainly we've got to do some things. And God will give us the plan to help improve our own health. The word says, physician, heal thyself. So sometimes we got to cut back. We got to stop eating those cheeseburgers and stuff like that Satan tries to tempt us with. And we've got to just do things a little bit better. Even with that, we can't do it of our own accord. We've got to do it with God's help and God's ability. Because we don't do in all our ways, not some of our ways, but in all our ways, acknowledge him and he shall direct your path. Not some paths, all paths. So back to what we have. We have, in the terms of the principle, everyone lives in a family. And because we live in a family, because we have sisters and brothers and nephews and cousins and uncles and mothers and fathers, we have the ability to take and to speak into their lives. Satan, you will not destroy my family. Satan, the word says they shall live and not die. Therefore, I speak the word, I declare the word, and I send the word to my family members, whether they like it or not. Why? Because the word is alive. It's not just a few pages in that book, but it has the ability to transform your soul. The song came on this morning, I need a healing for my soul. We go back to Genesis and we look at Adam. Adam was formed by the dust and the ground, but God blew. And when he blew the breath into that clay, it became a living soul. So in essence, we are made in the image of God. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. We are body, soul, and spirit. Therefore, God has given us the abilities to speak to that soul, that spirit, and that word of God will transform those soulless issues. And once it transfers those soulless issues, then belief systems come, healing comes, and therefore I can stand and live out my faith. And I could be like Hebrews chapter 11 when it says that Cain offered up a more pleasing sacrifice, or Abel offered up a more pleasing sacrifice than Cain. As we see the fact that his name is written in this book, we see the fact that Enoch walked with God so until he pleased God, until he was translated, meaning he didn't die, he wasn't buried, but he had a relationship with God that was second to nobody's. How many can do an evaluation of your relationship today with God? I just want to ask you a question. Are you pleasing God? I'm stepping on too many toes this morning. I'm going to stop. Enoch lived his life to please God. How does a life, how do one live a life that is well-pleasing to God? How do we do that? I asked you a question, but then let me ask you another question. How do we live a life that's pleasing to God? First, since you asked Dr. Carey going to tell you. First, by believing God. Our belief system, faith operates on what we believe. If I don't trust you, I can't believe in you. Then if I can't believe in you, I can't have faith in you. I don't believe that you're going to show up when I'm in trouble. But I can't have faith in you. Simple principle. One, believing in God, believing in the God that made heaven and earth, believing in the God that sent his only begotten son to die on the cross for me, believing in the God that woke me up this morning, believing in the God that says you can do all things through me that strengthens you, not through Maria that strengthens Maria, but through God that strengthens Maria. Because God strengthens me, because he keeps me on the daily basis. When I feel like throwing in the towel, God says, not so, my child, because I'm here. And I'm going to send you some nuggets of encouragement. I'm going to send somebody to say, you can make it. Don't let me start sinking. Second, by living a life of complete obedience, I want to say this. I'm trying to wrap it up. You can't live your life any old kind of way and expect to stand and believe that God is going to do it. Can't do it. It won't. It's not possible. And it's not possible because the enemy is applying trickery like never before on a daily basis. I bet you say, oh, this is June. It's okay. Oh, it's Pride Month, but it's okay. I used to think that too, but I educated myself to understand there are subtle paganistic rituals that are being performed now more subtly, more undercover than ever. And God told the children of Israel, when you go into the land that I promised you, do not participate in the rituals of that land. We are not to participate in the rituals of this world. It's a conflict of interest. Third, by bearing fruit and doing good work. God gives us so that we can give to somebody else. God gives us hope that we may help somebody else. And he will provide us with a ram in the bush and give us when we help somebody else. It might be saying, God bless you. How you doing? Can I assist you? We plant seeds. The witness, when you're witnessing, you plant a seed. Somebody else cultivates the seed, and somebody else pours the water. So if you plant a seed, you may never see that seed that you plant harvested. But God has used you to plant that seed. So we are planting seeds. We are showing forth the goodness of Jesus Christ. We're standing on faith to believe that God is able to do exceedingly and abundantly. Our faith, hope, I'm hoping and believing. I can't see the manifestation, but it's there. And we have got to look through our spiritual eyes, because our natural eyes will never see it. Some of us wear glasses. I wear glasses. If I took off my glasses right now, I couldn't see what I'm reading to tell you. Mm-hmm. Couldn't see it because I need my natural glasses in order to see what I'm talking about. Praise God. And then the Lord would, you know, give me other stuff with it. But to see what's written on the paper, I need my glasses. But I don't need glasses to see spiritually. And we have got to see spiritually to be able to stand on the faith. My family going to be healed. My children are going to be saved, delivered, and set free. Yes, Satan, you think you are taking control of them, but I operate in a spiritual realm. So I speak those things that is not as though they are. I declare the salvation for my family. I declare healing for those of my family members that are sick. I declare it and I speak it. And I tell Satan that you got to take your hands off my folks. Loose here. You know the old folks used to say, loose here, Satan. Loose my mind, loose here. Meaning, I bind you. I bind you, Satan, in the name of Jesus Christ, and you have got to flee. Say, Jesus, there is power in the name of Jesus. No other power in no other name but Jesus. Y'all messing with me. And lastly, by increasing the knowledge of God. Colossians 1 and 10 reads, then the way you live will also honor and please the Lord, and your lives will produce every kind of good fruit. All the while you will grow as you learn to know God better and better. You know, verse 6, I'm going to read this. Verse 6 reminds us that without faith, a right relationship with God is impossible. And of course, we will start thinking right. You know, he pleased God through obedience and his belief that God rewards those that pursue him. God rewards us that pursue him. He rewards us. And of course, I never seem to be able to get through everything that God, everything that I write down. But God desires that we trust him more. Trusting God strengthens our witness and drives us to live in a way that pleases God. Through the experience of faith and adversity, though the exercise of faith and adversity, the people listed in Hebrews 11 gain approval from God. The word approval derived means witness. People of faith are living a witness that God is trustworthy. God is trustworthy, saints. Has he done anything for you today that you could literally say, God did it for me? God did it for me. We have so many on the sick list. Just this week, I've got a list of family members and close friends that are ill and sick. But I'm believing God for them. I'm believing God for their healing. I'm believing God for their restoration. And we must make sure that our loved ones have a relationship with Jesus Christ. We have to preach it, teach it, and ask God to give them a relationship with Jesus Christ. The reality that Christ is on his way back is true. We're living in this world. We're travelers, but this is not our home. Our home is heaven. Our home is with Jesus in heaven. And the word is clear when it says there will be a new heaven and a new earth. And this one will pass away. And we know that death is a reality. But those that have their foundation in Jesus Christ will live again. Let's pray. Father God, I thank you, God, for these individuals that have come, that have taken up their time to be here. We pray for them. We pray their strength. We pray, God, that you'll heal and deliver them, Father God. We pray for everyone that's sick on this morning, those that are dealing with a sickness. We pray that you'll heal their bodies. We pray, God, that you'll comfort their minds. We pray, God, that you'll save the loved ones that are not saved, God. We ask, God, that as we go through adversity, Father God, that you will lead us out, that you will be our light on days when it looks dim, that you will grant us the spirit to grow in your grace and the knowledge of your will, that the world will strengthen us, that the world will encourage us, that the world will lift us, and that the word will strengthen our minds and our bodies, and God, that we will move forward in you in Jesus' name. We pray, God, that you'll put the whole armor upon us, God, that we recognize that this battle is not spiritually, it's spiritual and not flesh and blood. We pray, God, that you will fight for us, because you are God that does just that. And we pray, God, if there's someone that will hear this broadcast or this radio show, we pray, God, that they will confess with their mouths their sins and confess Jesus as their Lord and Savior. Jesus Christ, Lord, save me. And God, and deliver them. And therefore, God, they're saved. Father God, we pray, God, that they'll find a church home that they will be given the word of God and given the word with power and given that word with the authority and the anointing that only you can do so with through the power and the Holy Spirit. Now, Father God, I pray a special blessing. I decree a blessing upon their lives, those that are still with me and those that have hung up. I pray, God, that you show forth your anointing and your power and your grace. This is my prayer in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Go with God. I see you next Saturday. Next Saturday, our co-host will be with us. And if you can, go meet her on today. And encourage her heart and her soul. She's at Indiana Avenue Pentecostal Church of God, 3520 South Indiana. The service starts at noon. Go be with her. Encourage her heart. God bless. Bye-bye.